This is Soil Sense Field Check, where we explore some of the more practical aspects of building healthier soils. I'm Tim Hamrich, and over the past five seasons of the Soil Sense podcast, we've learned that building healthier soils takes curiosity, creativity, and collaboration between farmers, researchers, consultants, and extension. These stories have both inspired and informed a lot of people, but the question still remains, how do I make this work on my farm? That's why we like to produce these field check segments to explore some of the more practical aspects to soil health. Agronomy, logistics, equipment, best practices, safety, and other important considerations. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Field Check. Well, welcome back to another episode of Field Check. I'm your host, Tim Hamrich. This is now our 14th installment of this series looking at how soil health gets implemented in practice. If you've listened to this show before, you've probably heard us talk about how building soil health requires a systems-based approach. As in, it's more about managing an ecosystem instead of just applying a prescription of individual inputs, like a recipe. But what does this systems-based approach look like in practice? Today, you're going to hear from a number of different farmers and consultants about how they implement systems-based thinking in their farming and soil health. We'll start here with Ontario farmer Woody Van Arkel, who's recalling the first time he heard Dr. Lee Breeze speak on this topic to a group of farmers.
I was sitting in a breakout session or a small session, and somebody put up their hand and said, I want to plant a cover crop, but I can't get it seeded. I think he was a grass seed grower. He says, I can't get it seeded through the residue of my crop. And the first thing you said was, well, work it a little. And I said, he's taken an approach, a practical approach to getting cover crops seeded. And I think there's a lot of people that need to hear that. It's not all purist where it's strictly no-till and strictly cover crops or what have you. There's a gray area in between that needs to be addressed. And Lee did an excellent job of communicating that in his session. That really impressed me.
This practical approach to soil health, as Woody called it, is a result of looking at the field as a system. Lee, who's a crop consultant for Central Ag Consulting in North Dakota, tries to stress this systems-based approach to farming and to soil health.
We'll see this. Like, there are people that will give that answer. Like, here you go. Here's the five things you need to do, or the three things you need to do, or whatever. Yeah, and I'm always disappointed in those types of things. It seems like the more you press somebody for that, the more you have to go to the watered down generic version of what you can do. So then you get to, wow, reduce tillage, you know, one less pass, and, you know, try cereal rye. And those, you know, that's the gateway cover crop, basically. And I don't think those are poor recommendations in that context, but for somebody who's growing, you know, winter wheat or spring wheat, cereal rye is a bad idea, typically, because it's going to volunteer and give you problems. And if you're going to grow corn next year, it's not a good idea in North Dakota unless you really know how to finagle it and manage it. So that goes back to, what are you going to do? Where's your next crop? Where you're going? How's this going to be? So I can't just stand in front of a room of 300 people and say, here's, there you go. You start here, and then you go here, and then you go here, and then you go here. You simply can't do that. But when we talk about growing soybeans and corn, we do that regularly. Here's what you do. Here's seed bed prep, and pick this seed, and here's the herbicide you use to manage this problem. And say we're going to manage water hemp as a weed. We can go through the list and say, this herbicide's good at that. This herbicide's good at that. This management practice will help. This management practice will help. This management practice will help. When we're talking about a soil health system, we're talking about an ecological system. We're not talking about problem management. We're talking about systems management, which is an entirely different thing. And it's all these moving cogs. It's like the guy on the assembly line where his job is to attach the widget to the what's it. And he only does the one thing, but the person who's the manager has to sit back and make sure that the whole thing is working and that somebody's not sick today or slow today or whatever. And if they are, they have to adjust the rest of it to make sure that it fits and continues to work. It's a much higher level of management where there's so many unknowns, and those unknowns change daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. So there is no prescription, but you're trying to teach people to be an ecosystems manager. And to do that, you have to be observing what's happening on that what's line. What's it working? Is the first line working? If you're not getting cover crop establishment, you're not going to get the benefits you wanted out of those cover crops. If you started off, well, the only way I can do it is to just broadcast them because I don't have a drill. Well, you've already handcuffed yourself. This is one of those roadblocks that gets in the way. Well, I don't have a drill, so I have to broadcast. And then cover crops didn't work. And I was going to put my soybeans into cereal rye, and the rye never came up. And so the whole thing falls apart because the guy on a what's it line didn't do his job. So it's one of those things that as a manager, you have to see, okay, well, here's the deal. We need to set this up better. We need to actually plant that cover crop and make sure that it has a chance for success so that it sets up for the soybean and then it sets up for the weed control. And then that sets up for this management system the whole way through. But you have to be willing to move and shake and adjust. But you have to see it from that higher level view. That's not how we talk about agriculture.
For Enderlin, North Dakota farmer Mark Olson, he found out that strip tillage was the right approach for his system. He's now seen the results over several years in both his soil and his yields, and he even says the approach saved a crop a couple of years ago.
I feel the biggest thing with strip till is we keep our soil 80% covered, and we can place all our nutrients. You know, no-till is great, but how do you place your fertilizer? So strip till allows us to band our fertilizer in a zone, and that plant can access it. That's why we're really big on strip till. Strip till kind of saved our farm last year. We were so wet. We took our vertical tillage out last year and we could not get anything to work. It was just a mess. So I called our soil warrior guy and I said, what can we do to make this machine run? And he told us how to shallow it up and do different things. And boy, we were stripping and planting in a day and a half. And it was huge.
And Mark's crop consultant, Matt, who also happens to have the last name of Olson, no relation though, said he had a few concerns when Mark wanted to dive headfirst into cover crops and strip tillage, this newer system. But he said the results over the years have been undeniable.
Well, it started out is just like, oh, we're going to have another crop growing on the field at the end of the year. And is that going to suck too much moisture away? Right now, that's a huge thing. We need to suck the moisture away because we're so wet. But introducing different species in, that are we going to be able to kill the weeds, take care of that and control that? But then all of a sudden, we started going from 40 bushel soybeans to 60 bushel soybeans by implementing strip till and cover crops. Also seeing that we probably weren't introducing any new weeds. We were actually getting better weed control by having the ground covered, which is huge for us in our water hemp neck of the woods and kochia neck of the woods and stuff like that.
Now, does this mean that you're going to have the same results if you implement the same practices as Mark did? Well, no, not necessarily. Your system, after all, might look totally different. But I did ask both Mark and Matt for their advice to others who might want to take more of a systems-based approach of their own in their farming operations.
I would say my biggest thing is keep learning, never quit, and keep trying. It's not just about iron. Strip till is a process. You know, you just don't hook on and go. There's a lot of learning.
Mine is keep an open mind. Like I said, 7 or 10 years ago when we started this journey, it was like, oh, this will end. It'll be sitting in the trees probably in 3 years, and it's not, and it's working well. Yields are increasing, getting better soil health, protecting the land. It's going very well.
Our final visit today is up to Velva, North Dakota, over 200 miles northwest of where Mark is located, to visit with Paul Thomas, a farmer up there. For him, no-till has worked best, both economically and agronomically, but he said after several years, he realized he wasn't giving the system everything it needed.
Where I fell a little bit short early on was following economics a little too hard in the rotation system of doing a small grain or corn or whatever, a grass crop every other year, and then using a pulse crop, whether that's peas, soybeans, pinto beans, lentils, whatever that may be, in a every other year rotation. And I just kind of bled my system out of enough carbon in that system to really increase organic matter and increase the biodiversity in that system. So we've really made a concerted effort to try and get 2 out of 3 years into a higher carbon crop, such as whether it's oats, barley, wheat, corn, whatever that may be, and then just 1 in 3 of a lower carbon crop, the pulse crops that we produce on our farm. And then also attempting to successfully integrate cover crops. I think it's pretty easy to seed a cover crop after you harvest if your time allows or if you make time, but it's not always easy to get that to work successfully in your operation where we're at because of moisture. So we're certainly learning as we go on that side of it to try and get as much benefit as we can from that cover crop through that learning process. And what we're also trying to do is involve, eventually anyways, we're not there yet, we've got a ways to go, is work with neighbors and involving livestock grazing of those cover crops following. We've got a couple fields that are close to the farm or close to a pasture that are fenced that we do that in. But overall in our whole system, it's we got a long ways to go there.
Well, huge thank you to everyone featured on today's episode, Woody Van Arkel, Dr. Lee Breeze, Mark Olson, Matt Olson, and Paul Thomas. Do you have a question about soil health or a story about one field you'd like to share? Leave us a voicemail at the click of a button by going to ndfieldcheck.com and just click the Start Recording button. We'd love to feature your story on an upcoming episode. We hear over and over that the mindset is the biggest key to unlocking more productivity while building healthier soils over time. So I'm really grateful to these guys for sharing their perspectives today. This program is made possible thanks to the support of the North Dakota Corn Council, the North Dakota Wheat Commission, the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Dakota Barley Council, and Anheuser-Busch. For more stories like this, visit ndfieldcheck.com and subscribe to Soil Sense wherever you get your podcasts.